Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today, always one of my favorite days, I have Tom Campbell with me. Tom is a nuclear physicist. You can find out so much information about Tom. He's written a trilogy of books called My Big Toe, and Toe standing for Theory of Everything. He has a YouTube station that has literally hundreds of YouTubes and thousands of hours. He has a forum. You can go to his website, mybigtoe.com. I highly recommend it because he has a lot of information and it's always in line with what we talk about. I know that Tom comes from a science background, but we really, when it comes to what we do, we make it from the heart. So I always love having you, Tom. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's always fun to be here and chat with you. We always have nice conversations, and I hope they're as much fun for your listeners as they are for us.
I think they are. I think they are. I know that a lot of people seem to like to start talking about it, and it's good. So this month, well, we're coming into what I usually term love month, and we're going to talk about the definition of love, because obviously we have a romanticized media portrayed version of love, which really technically is not what love is. It's very much fear-based. It's, well, we'll talk about that. So, and I also know that Tom has been writing a book about love. So I also want to talk about that, because it's kind of an interesting look at why women and men are the way they are. And it's through evolution, and it's very interesting. So let's talk about all of this, but let's start off with, I think, really what the definition of what love should be, and the very different way it seems to be portrayed as romantic love in our society.
Well, you know, I could start right out and be technical, you know. love is the nature of a low entropy consciousness, but that probably wouldn't be a good thing to do. So we'll go elsewhere and say that love is about other. Okay, it's right. Not about self, it's about others. So that's one way to distinguish love from things that are not love. And that would seem simple. Well, of course, that's easy to distinguish, you know, what's about other and what's about ourselves, but not really so much. It's really a hard thing to distinguish.
It just gets so messy. It gets so messy because it has to do with what we want versus what it is.
Right. Yes. Well, most of us confuse romantic love, of course, with love in general. And romantic love can be about other. Too often, it isn't.
Yes, it could be. It should be.
Yeah, but too often, it's about self. Too often, it's about need. We have a tendency to fall in need rather than fall in love. We find somebody that meets our needs, and if we seem to meet their needs, then that's chemistry. You know, that's good, and that then is what we call romance, when we have two people who meet each other's needs real well. So that's love. Of course, the Greeks had several words for love. They differentiated various types of love with different words. We don't. In English, love just is a one word that covers all sorts of different meanings, you know, right, of love. So I would say the best way to define love then is that it's about other. It's not about self. It's thinking of other, putting other, I guess, above yourself. It's primarily about that other person. Are they happy? Are they satisfied? Do they have their needs met? And not so much at all about, am I satisfied? Am I happy? Do I have my needs met? So when, of course, in Western culture, we live in a very, our culture is a very consumer-based culture. And much of the way we understand the world is in terms of products and, you know, consumer, the value of things has to do with kind of the value to you. You know, value is in the eye of the beholder. So we tend to look at things based on their value to us. So we have Valentine's Day coming up in a couple of weeks. And at that time, people will feel like they want to celebrate and appreciate their significant other. And that's good. They will also feel obligated to do that, because if they don't, they're in trouble.
Right, right.
And they also, you know, will feel that it's the value of the gift that signifies the value of the sentiment.
Yes.
And of course, that's not true either. You see, in our culture, I think at one time, and maybe it's still that way, the Valentine's Day was a celebration of significant other, you know, the value of that significant other to you. So that's what we would call romantic love. But the marketers, in their effort to sell things, I think have twisted it a little bit to the point that it's in appreciation of your, what can I say, not necessarily the significant other, but it's more these days an appreciation of your wife or of the ladies. It's more of a ladies' day.
Right.
And it's the time when men need to go out and buy things for their ladies. You see, back to the commercial thing. That's the way we get it as far as the people who would like to sell us things. They would like to convince us that if we don't spend some money, then, you know, our lady will be upset with us. So that's kind of what Valentine's Day means to a very large percent of the population, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
If it were just a day for stepping back and looking at the value that others bring to our life, and particularly that significant other in our life, then that would be a wonderful thing.
Right.
If that's the way we approached it, you know, oh, what a lovely day to have where we appreciate those that offer us the greatest opportunity to learn and mm-hmm. to grow, because mm-hmm. it's that significant other is where you really get tested as to whether your decisions are being made out of love or out of ego or out of fear or out of belief. I mean, we know a lot of people and we interact with lots of people at work and even in our neighborhood and even at home, but it's that significant other relationship that tests you to the, you know, tests your metal right down, you know, to your toes. Mm. And that's one we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for that opportunity to grow that our significant other brings to us, because that's the relationship that basically is the deepest and the closest and the most dominant in our life.
Yeah.
And that's the one that can twist our tail and fire up our ego and make us get upset or thrill us to death or whatever, more than any other relationship we have with any other person. And that's just part of our genetics. That's just the way we are. So it's a very important relationship, and to celebrate that significance and appreciate that is really a wonderful thing.
Right.
But I don't really think that that's what Valentine's Day is about anymore. I think it's mostly about what do you buy the little woman so that she will feel properly taken care of and properly, you know, that she has the attention that she's due on this day. It's more of a ladies' day.
Yeah.
Rather than an appreciation of significant other. So, yeah, we have a ways to go. love is a great, it'd be nice if it were Love Month, if everybody were particularly loving and kind and giving and thinking of other people during this month. But mostly it's life goes on as usual, and we are who we are, and we can't help being who we are. And we all are getting by the best we can, which means we have to abide by the cultural norms that we find ourselves surrounded by. So all the guys are out there wondering, you know, what they're going to get their lady for Valentine's Day, or if they forget how much trouble that's likely to be. they're assessing the amount of trouble they'll have to go to get something with the trouble they'll have to go to if they don't. And that, of course, is all about self. That's not about the lady at all. That's all about what do I need to do to get through this, cultural custom. And that, of course, takes something that's beautiful and turns it into something that's commercial. Yeah. And that's really not where we want to go, you know, in Love Month.
Right.
So it is it's a nice idea, though, if we could just step back and see how important to our growth that significant other is. Instead of looking at it in terms of, well, how well are they meeting my needs?
Right.
You know, how well are they what I want, what I need, and where are they not meeting my needs? And then we have a tendency to focus on the negative. So then all the thoughts are about how it is they don't meet our needs, you see. And typically when we think of our significant other, when we contemplate our significant other, we contemplate how it is that they don't meet our needs, how it is that they fail to give us what we want, what we need, the way we want it, and the way we need it. At the time we want it, at the time we need it. You know, that's what we tend to think about. That's what's in our mind when we say, oh, let me contemplate my significant other. Oh, yeah, they just don't do this, and they're not like that. And I sure would like it if they were this other way. And it's all about what we don't have, what we want. It's all about our wants, our needs, you see. And that tends to be the way we go through life. Self-focused, our needs, our wants. And, of course, in our mind, our wants are all true and just and beautiful. You know, our own needs are fully and completely justified. Of course, they're our needs. Everybody would agree that this is a perfectly, you know, reasonable thing for me to want and need. We all justify our needs, and everybody on every side of every issue feels exactly the same way. Their needs are fully and completely justified, and other people's needs that want them to do things that are not really in tune with themselves, those needs are unreasonable. Those needs are not true and just and beautiful and whatever. Those are just, you know, other people always have these demands they want to put on you and so on. You know, they want me to be somebody other than who I am. But, you know, they want me to be this way or that way. And why can't they just accept me as me? You see, that's the way you feel when it's somebody else's, about somebody else's needs. Right. About your own needs, oh, well, those are just, everybody would agree, these are real, these are just. I should have these things. It's only right that I have these needs. These are just basic human things that I'm entitled to, you know, this sort of thing. And yeah, it's a shame that we see the world through our own ego, through the lens of our own needs and wants, and that's how we interpret our world. That's what, you know, that's what our world looks like to us. And that's not love. That's ego. That's fear. It's the fear that I won't get what I want. It's the fear that things aren't working out for me. It's the fear that, you know, it's suboptimal for me. I would be so much happier if other people would just be different, you see, rather than I would be so much happier if I could just care about other people and not care about myself so much. You see, that would be a good thought. But hardly any of us ever come to that conclusion, that it would be a nicer world if we just didn't think about ourselves so much and really thought about, how does other people feel? How does my significant other feel? What can I do to make them feel better, to make them happier, to give them what they want? What can I do to be the person they need, rather than what could they do to be the person I need? You see? Right. It's just different. Now, if everybody did that, you see, wouldn't that be nice? Your husband would constantly be thinking what he could do to meet your needs and how he could make you happy. And you'd be thinking, what could you do to meet his needs and make him happy? And guess what? Everybody would be happy.
Well, that would mean communicating, Tom, and we have to probably be the worst at that.
Yeah, that would mean communicating.
Yes.
But, you know, even if we just kind of read the signs and didn't really verbally communicate, we could do that a whole lot. We could do a whole lot of that, a whole lot better. Instead, yeah. We focus on our needs and what we want. Our significant other focuses on their needs and what they want. And then nobody's happy. Everybody's focused on what they don't have. So that's problem. Really a sad thing as we come into love month. So how do we deal with that? Well, the way we deal with it is not to stuff our own needs under the rug. It's not that we just kind of swallow our own needs and say, well, all right, my needs aren't going to get met, but that's all right. I'm going to meet other people's needs and I'll just live with the fact that, you know, mine aren't going to be met and so on. Well, you're still thinking about yourself. The idea is to let go of those needs. You see, they're your needs, but they're your needs because it's your beliefs, your ego, and your fears. That's why it's your needs. When you let go of that, then the only needs you have after you let go of fear is that I need to be useful to other people. I need to see what I can do to be helpful and to be caring for other people. That's the need that's left, not the need of, well, what about me? How am I going to get mine? All right, I could just give somebody else what they wanted, but I won't be getting mine, and eventually that's just not going to work. I'm just going to be unhappy. You see, well, that's the way fear talks. You're afraid that you're not going to get what you want. And that then gets expressed in the ego. When you let go of that fear, those wants go away because it's not about I. It's not I want, I need. It's not you at the center of the universe. It's others there. And your needs are about them, not about you. So that's how, it's not that you stuff those needs away and kind of ignore them.
And that's the biggest problem, right?
That'll just fester. Just sits there. You take those needs and stuff them away and they just sit there and fester and grow sour. And after a while you get bitter and then it all breaks and I just can't keep doing this anymore. And then the whole thing blows up. You're worse off for trying to do that. What that's doing is it's acting.
Yeah. See, well, the best part is that you're thinking you're taking the higher road. I'll just be a martyr.
Right.
You know, I'm going to take the higher road. I'm going to be better than them. And then it's all ego.
It's all ego. And it makes things actually worse rather than better. That doesn't, that doesn't achieve anything. Now you're acting. You're not being. You're acting better. You're acting like it was about them. You're acting like their needs are important. You're acting like your own needs aren't. Right. Well, acting isn't real. It's not sincere. It's not authentic. It's not you. And as much as you are not sincere and authentic, it just doesn't work out. It's doing perhaps the right thing, but for the wrong reason. And what you do is not nearly as important as why you do it. The doing is neither here nor there as far as the value goes, the moral value. It's you have to do things from the being level. So you get to the point where you don't have those needs because the fear and the ego and the beliefs are gone, then it's not about you anymore. It's about other people. So you see, that's kind of the solution. And if you look at things that make you unhappy, if you look at things that are negative in your life, you'll find that almost all of the sentences that describe those things start with I. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. That's not good for me. That isn't fair to me. I deserve better. You see, it's me, 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 I. That's what it's all about. And that's your fear talking. That's your fear. And that fear expresses as ego and belief. I believe that I deserve that. You know, it's my right, whatever, you know. Yeah. So that's the basic problem. So don't stuff those needs away. So they just fester under the rug someplace. You see, that's not helpful at all. Be authentic. Be who you are. And if that's a person that's full of self-centeredness, well, okay, accept that. That's who you are. Accept it. Now, what are you going to do about it? You see, But until you accept it, you can't do anything about it.
Right.
So first you got to accept it. Then you have a chance of doing something about it if you really want to. Then you find that ego and leads to that fear and you get rid of it. You see, that's the key. But that's hard work.
Yes.
That doesn't just happen. You have to really want to do it. If you don't really want to do it, because really it is all about you, you know, and that would be unpleasant and would be hard work, then you're not ready yet. And the best you can do is just keep trying to get ready to go. So that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. That's the way it is at Love Month. You know, it's not all a pretty sight, but it is nice that people do think about each other, even if they're going through the motions, even if they are just responding to the cultural imperative, you know, to go buy something or to give something or to spend a little time thinking about or to give a little praise or some appreciation or say thank you or any of those things. Even if it's the culture that kind of prods them to do that, that's still nice. That's better than nothing at all, you see. At least it shows some effort in the right direction. So we're not going to poo-poo on Love Month, because it's really nice to do at any case, at any level, for any reason. It's helpful. Being nice and appreciative is helpful, even if it's because your culture prods you to be that way. You know, even if the advertisements make you feel like you'll be a bum if you don't, you know, bring home some roses.
Right.
And even if you're a lady and it's not about him, it's about you, and you figure Valentine's Day is my day, sort of like Mother's Day, except it's significant other female day, and that's not good either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about everybody. It really should be about everybody. It should also be about your children too. You know, that's another loving relationship that you should have. And if we're thinking about Love Day, then it needs to be about everyone, family, friends. It's sort of like Thanksgiving now. You know, now we've turned Valentine's Day into Thanksgiving. Now we're giving thanks for all of the positive, relationships in our life, and that would be a really good thing. But even if it's just focused on significant other, that's a really good thing too.
Right.
So,
yes, let's. Let's look at it that way. Just let go of
forget all that other stuff, yeah. I said. That's really hard and kind of makes me feel uncomfortable and a little uneasy. And yeah, maybe I should be doing that. And maybe it's not all them. Maybe it's me. And that's a very discomforting idea. So let's go back to everything's okay.
Yeah.
We're all right. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay.
Yeah. Well, I do find it amazing though, the people that, you know, that call up or, you know, write, and it's always a blame. Like that's like, they don't ever want to take responsibility. And it's just so important. If you want, you know, a relationship that is evolving and moving to you towards love, I mean, you have to sort of look at what you're doing and how you're contributing to the problem. Like everybody wants to blame it on the other person, especially the, you know, significant other. Like when it's like, you know, they can maybe look at responsibility at work. They can maybe look at responsibility around the family, although most people will still want to blame their parents. But when it comes to the significant other, because it's such an intense relationship and because they're there all the time, you know, you don't usually escape that. It is the one that we tend to blame the most for all of our unhappiness.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when we look at we're unhappy, obviously it's somebody else's fault.
Obviously.
I mean, why would we come to any other conclusion? What's an ego to think? You know, of course it's somebody else's fault. You know, again, we always define ourselves as true and just and beautiful and terrific. It's easy to justify your own needs and wants. And it's easy to see how other people aren't meeting those needs and wants and how that's their problem.
Right.
See, and that's just the view of the world through fear and ego. That's all that is. And that's what we tend to do. Absolutely. We blame everything on somebody else, because to say, oh, maybe I had some part in that, you know, I'm a contributor here. Now, suddenly, you have to do something about it. You've just taken some responsibility. And now you either have to do something about that, or you have to just throw that responsibility away and say, well, I'm responsible, but who cares? You see, so people don't want to feel that way. So they're not going there. It's like, well, yeah, I might have something little tiny thing to do with it, but but let's not focus there. Let's focus on really the big problem, which is the way my spouse or my children or my parents or, you know, my boss or somebody else just doesn't see the world the way they need to. They just don't appreciate me the way they should. And that's your ego and your fear. And yes, that's the way people, they blame everything.
Right.
I mean, everything that happens to them, there's somebody to blame. Everything that's negative, it's somebody else's fault. And everything that's positive, it's generally to their credit. You know, it works, that often works both ways.
All right. Well, you have been listening to News for the Heart with Tom Campbell. You can find out more about Tom. His trilogy of books are called My Big Toe, which is also his website, mybigtoe.com. He has a forum. He has a YouTube station. Google his name and it'll all come up. But there's lots and lots of information. So take advantage of it. And we'll be back sometime next month. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I always enjoy it, Lori.
Thanks.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.